Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the word to transform lives.
Shall we pray? God, it is so good to be in your house, to worship and to have fellowship. It's good to seek your face. So Lord, would you please speak to us this morning through the pages of your word. I thank you for all those who are here. They could so conveniently be elsewhere. Thank you too, Lord, for those tuning in online. We come before you hungry for more of you. So Lord, speak to us and teach us, instruct us, as we may need this morning. Some of us come here with joy, some with burdens, and so we thank you for our joys, and we give to you our burdens. We thank you that you are our burden bearer. Do your good work in our hearts, Lord, as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, Amen. Good morning to a church which is highly treasured by the Lord, deeply loved, and greatly blessed. And to all the seniors, I just want to echo these words to you and to the church in general. It's good to connect with you again. Did you hear the story of the Hindu priest, rabbi, and the politician? It goes like this. A Hindu priest, rabbi, and politician went out on a hike together. They got lost and couldn't find their way back to the car. Night fell. They noticed a house in the distance with a little light on. So they showed up on the farmhouse, knocked on the door, and introduced themselves as the Hindu priest, rabbi, and politician who have lost their way. They asked if he could put them up for the night. The farmer said, yes, but I only have one extra room with two twin beds. One of you have to sleep out in the barn. The Hindu priest, ever humble, said, no problem. I will go out to the barn. Rabbi and politician went to bed. A little later, there was a knock on the door. They got up and answered the door. It was the Hindu priest. He said, I can't go to the barn. There's a cow there, and the cow is sacred to my faith. So the rabbi volunteered to go. A little while later, there was a knock on the door. Rabbi said, I can't sleep there. There's a pig there, and pig is unclean. So the politician said, okay, guys, I will go to the barn. No issue. The Hindu priest and rabbi fell asleep, only to be awakened by a knock on the door. They opened the door only to find the cow and the pig. Sorry, I'm not supposed to laugh. Someone sent me a picture yesterday from Australia about politicians. They say free bungee jumping for politicians, no strings attached. See, when I stood at this pulpit 25 years ago, when we first moved to Heritage Center, people of my vintage definitely had less gray hairs. Contrast this with our Taman Mega and youthful hippie days, where some of us, like Dr. George, had long hair. Now many of us are longing for hair. My heart rejoices and is filled with gratitude when I see you folks. Gray hair, little hair, no hair, false hair. It doesn't matter. God loves us all the same. I'm also justifiably proud of you because you are the core that have contributed immensely to make your spiritual, to make PJEFC your spiritual home, and therefore contribute to a strong community here. But seniors, we must not stop here and tell ourselves we have done our part and are happily retired. As Christians, we are retired from our jobs, but never retired from purpose. Be inspired by Putin, Xi Jinping, Modi, Netanyahu, Donald Trump, and Khamenei, who are all above 70 years old and currently shaking the world for better or for worse. Be encouraged by what God says, as was told to us by... Hey, what am I supposed to do? I've got to have my slide on. Yeah? Okay, as Elder Chi Wai shared with us in Psalm 92:14, They will still bear fruit in old age. Seniors, we will still bear fruit. They will stay fresh and green. Once we are in the Lord, we will continue to do that. And so I say, the older the durian tree, the better the texture and the taste of the fruit. Further, the green leaves provide shade and healing, according to Revelation 22:2. So seniors, there's your purpose for evangelism, to provide guidance and encouragement. And for the younger generation, if I am your age, I would seek out the seniors to unlock the values and expertise in them. Use your technology in which the seniors are lacking in exchange for their experience and expertise. This would be an honorable exchange, and that's what Pauline is doing in her job, talking to those senior to her in her job and learning so much more invaluable experiences. Leviticus 19 says, hey, how come do not steal, do not lie? It is not to y'all. Leviticus 19:11 states, actually, rise in the presence of the Lord, of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. When you respect and help the seniors, you are revering them and God as well. You see, general blessings will flow when seniors, together with juniors, we help one another build up the church of God. And that's why I hope to motivate not only the seniors, but all of us this morning. So, make paradigm shifting as a way of life. As Isaiah 43:19 puts it, see, I'm doing a new thing. From the passage that was read to us, I want to share four aspects. Number one, let the Lord lead. The Lord's instructions to Joshua was very clear. The people are to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priests at a distance of 2,000 cubits, which is actually 1,000 yards or half a mile. Most of you know the Ark, right? Is the Ark of the Covenant is, but for those who don't, the Ark was a very sacred article to Israel. It is actually 3.5 feet by 2.25 feet by 2.25 feet, and it contains the commandment, the Ten Commandments, Aaron's budding staff, and a sample of the manna. The reason why the Ark was most holy to the people of Israel was because God would literally, by His Spirit, manifest His presence over the Ark of the Covenant. Thus, where the Ark went, God would manifest His presence. In Psalm 99:1, it says, God is enthroned between the cherubims. As you can see, the cherubims are the angels. The Ark was very important in Old Testament times because it was a symbol that God is central to the nation. Since 586 BC, when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, the Ark of the Covenant fades from the pages of the Bible and biblical history. But in Revelation 11:19, for those of you who want to take notes, it reappears in the temple of God in heaven. Now, this is the lesson. To follow the Ark means the Israelites are to follow God's leading. And so the lesson for us is that we are not to rush ahead of the Lord. As believers, we must follow God's lead. He is the pioneer and finisher of our faith. These are some questions I ask myself from time to time. What is God up to? Is God leading us on how to pray for the nation, the church, our family? Is He opening doors or closing doors? Example, in relationships or job or investments and business opportunities, we should pray to God to lead and then to follow him and not reverse the order. You know, one important thing I read is that it says that common sense does not mean that the Lord is leading us. And I can understand that, because a lot of times when I think that that's a good thing to get into, actually it turns out to be the opposite. So we need to come and wait and seek the Lord, and he will tell us what to do. We must not reverse the order. Let God lead. Don't let ourselves lead. The Israelites waited 40 years to get out of Egypt, and because of those disobedience, had to wait another 40 years before they were able to cross the River Jordan to the Promised Land. We waited on God for many years before he led us to Heritage Center. David waited some 20 years from the day he was anointed as king by the prophet Samuel, because before he really ascended the throne, and that also partially. And 7 years later, then only he became the king of whole of Israel. In Habakkuk 2:3, God says, though the revelation lingers, wait for it. It will suddenly come and not delay. I just want to ask all of us, be patient, because God knows. He will not disappoint us. And for note takers, you might find this principle helpful. Every day, we must choose if we will let the Lord lead or the world leads. Joshua said to the Israelites in Joshua 24:15, choose for yourselves whether to serve the Lord or to serve the Amorites in whose land you are occupying. Every day we are faced with the choice of choosing God or choosing the world. I encourage Pauline and Poping, who are my daughters, as they shared challenges in the marketplace, that though we live in this world, we are not to act like the world. We are a call to interact with the world as salt and light. And like Prophet Daniel, as a teenager, he was forced to live in Babylon, but Babylon did not live in him. He drew a line. And therefore, to all of us, I say, biblical anchoring in our lives is important. And as a result, God honored Daniel, and he served with integrity and distinction under four kings. Today, we have the Holy Spirit and scriptures to guide us. Just as the Ark of the Covenant in Old Testament days was central to the nation, so the Bible, the inerrant word of God, must be central to our lives. In Joshua 1:8, he encouraged the Israelites before they entered the Promised Land, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So we have to be careful to obey God's word. And therefore, the word says you will be prosperous and you will also have long life. And prosperity and long life actually equates to being a success in your living day to day. It is not how long we live then, but it is the contents in our life that really matters to God. And so I move on to my next point. Of course, I do say that with regards to the Word of God, first of all, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. You know, I always like this word that comes to my mind, that the Word of God, you know, is timeless. And yet, it is timely. Today, from a verse that spoke 3,000 years ago perhaps, it is still timely and speaks to us, because everything else will pass away, but the Word of God remains. So how important the Word of God is to our lives. The second lesson in paradigm shifting is to practice what Joshua said to the Israelites in Joshua 3, verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Hebrew word for consecrate is kodash. It means to sanctify, purify yourselves. Or in the context of today, perhaps for us to renovate our lives and bring back freshness. Some of us may be tired, and therefore, you know, we need that fresh input of God into our lives. But how does that happen? You know, Joshua doesn't say in what ways we are to consecrate our lives, but I would like to think this involves confession of all things regarding our walk with the Lord. Anything that corrupts our hearts and lives, activities, thoughts, words, and deeds, clean it up by confession to the Lord. Nowadays, sin is not frequently addressed over the pulpit in churches. I remember what a pastor once said about inappropriate relationships. He said that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you far more than you are willing to pay. Then he said there is a difference between being conscious of sin in our lives and living in sin. When you are conscious of sin, you confessed it. But when you are intentionally living in sin and continue to lead a double life, you will find it hard to repent and will have to pay a heavy price for it. Listen to what King David said after he tried to hide his sin of adultery and the murder of Uriah in Psalm 32, verses 3, 4, and 5. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave me of my sin. No matter what we have done in our lives, always remember, when you come back to God, we will always receive mercy. From this psalm, we learn two spiritual principles. One, concealed sin hurts the mind and the body, while confessed sin heals. And number two, spiritual problems cannot be resolved with human solutions. We have to seek God face to face like David did. David tried to cover his sins, but when he confessed, God covered up his sins. And I think it is an important lesson for us to learn, because I have gone through this and I know how terrible it is when I kept the sin to myself and refused to confess to God and tried in all kinds of ways, you know, to rationalize and justify what I've done, which I know is wrong in the sight of God. And actually, literally, my bones ache. I caught flu every now and then, you know, and then I knew that my health was tied to my spiritual health. And when I confess, my spiritual health, all the way, I suffered no ill effects. So here is a word to myself and to you. God always gave us a pause between our sin and the consequences to confess and repent before it gets serious and embarrassing. And during this grace period, God likes to deal with our sin privately. But you know, David didn't do that. He kept his sin to himself for 1 year. And therefore, God has to bring someone, the prophet Nathan, to expose him. After 1 year, when the baby was about to be born, has been born, and then he confessed, and the Lord forgave him. But then I asked myself too, in the case of David, he is a man who sinned so grievously and still can be seen as a man after God's own heart. So what's the reason? A man or woman after God's own heart is someone who is not necessarily perfect, because none of us are, or none of us is, except Jesus. But it is someone who is quick to repent and feel sorry and broken over their sin. And that's true of David. He had a teachable spirit. He felt sorry and contrite. He confessed in Psalm 51:17, that a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. You know, I like King David. He's so human. And I can easily relate to him, as I believe most of you would be able to. And you know, there are more things written about King David except for our Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And almost 75% of the Psalms are from David and his ordinary experiences and how God used him and enthroned him to be king. A theologian, G. Campbell Morgan, said, "The church pure is the church powerful." You will agree that there is a certain measure of God's power and manifestation in an individual's life when we walk in purity with Him. And God says to us as a church, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And one more thing springs to mind. Consecration must go with reading of God's word, prayer, and fasting, and other spiritual disciplines to empower us to live a life set apart for God and worthy of the gospel. Let me share with you a simple story. Those of my vintage may have heard of this before, about how to deal with sin. You know, there's a brother who always gathers in the prayer meeting, not in PJFC. And he will always pray this in that group of people, you know, in and out every week and every time he has opportunity. "Lord, remove the cobwebs in my life. Lord, remove the cobwebs in my life." He has only all this prayer and he will repeat it. So after many, many times he said that, you know, one sister, of course, our intercessor with all the sensing, said, "Lord, kill that spider in his life." You know, that's what we should do, because I believe Matthew 25:9 says that if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Metaphorically, it means we have to deal with the sin in our life radically, not literally. Otherwise, all of us will have one hand short or one leg gone. And for me, I think both eyes will be gone. And of course, you know the power of prayer. I share you a simple, silly story. Story of two parrots. One parrot belongs to an accountant and he's always very naughty. He always says in the cage, "Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me." Then there's the parrot of the pastors who said, always go to a corner, wings all closed as though in prayer. So they both got together and said, "Let's buy a bigger cage, put them all both together and then see whether the pastor's parrot will influence this naughty guy. And they did that. And once they were settled in, of course, you know, the accountant's parrot said, "Kiss me, kiss me, kiss me." Then the parrot from the other side started to flap his wings. He said, "At last, answer to prayers." So the power of prayer is important, all right? I think because time is running out, I will not cover one more point, which is to walk in faith. Perhaps I can just summarize it, that, you know, in verse 15, we read that the river was raging. It was flood stage. March, April in Israel is the spring period. Mount Hermon will start melting. The waters will come down. And the River Jordan will be about 10 to 12 feet deep. And it is no joke. And I remember how we played in the river when I was 17 years old, and one of my friends just got swept away out to the sea. By the time I reached and pulled him back, he already drank a lot of water and he died. So, folks, I have a healthy respect for river water and sea water. But you know, these things that happen, you know, the river was raging. And it is interesting to note how God works. Firstly, why did God choose a time for the Israelites to cross when the River Jordan was so deep, so wide, and so dangerous? Then you would think that the Israelites approached the River Jordan. Why did God just roll back the waters and let them pass? Why must he insist that they go to the edge of the water, put their feet in it? But no, God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. The instructions from God was he wants the priests carrying the ark to dip their feet into the fast-flowing Jordan River, and then only God will roll back the waters. And this is where Isaiah 55 verse 8 tells us, God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His plans are not our plans. And J.B. Phillips, a Bible theologian, said this, "If God is small enough for me to understand, then he is not big enough for me to worship." And so, brothers and sisters, when things happen in our lives that we do not understand, and as we commit it to God, remember that God has our best interests at heart. Trust him. So we must be prepared always to take the first step of faith in ministry and in life. Then why did God roll the water back to Adam, a town 16 miles away upstream? This was because the estimated number of people that were about to cross the River Jordan was 3 to 3.5 million people. According to a report I read, if only two can cross at one time, the queue would be 800 miles long, and it would take 1 month to cross. But at 5,000 abreast, based on a width of 3 miles, you can pass all the entire population in one day. So you can see the wisdom and thoughtfulness of God in arranging the crossing. God the Father is a God of details. He not only made space for them to cross in an orderly manner, but he also made the ground dry, if you read the chapter 3 carefully, when it would otherwise be muddy. Sometimes what makes God so dear and real to us is not the big blessings, but God's personal and intimate intimate attention to details in our lives. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we need to be reminded from time to time, for we live by faith and not by sight. And we do not know where the next step of the staircase is. That's faith. That's what Martin Luther King says. And sometimes it is very scary. When I'm in a big trouble and I do not know where God is leading me after that, really, it is very scary. You don't know where the next step of the staircase is. And of course, it has been shared before, I believe, by Chi Wai, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God, and the things that He wants to reveal to us, He will reveal. So to be a paradigm-shifting Christian, let God lead, number one. Secondly, consecrate yourself. Thirdly, walk in faith. And fourthly, don't rehearse the past. You know, in badminton, when my partner makes a bad shot, or I make a bad shot, I tell him and I tell myself, don't rehearse the past. Forget about that last shot. Because if you keep on reminding yourself of that last shot, you're going to make two more mistakes and give away two more points. And so it is too when those of us who are playing golf, when you hit a bad shot and go somewhere that is really where you don't want it to go, you tell yourself, pick yourself up and say, the next shot I'm going to hit a good one. And you will find that you actually do that. So don't rehearse the past. You see, when the Israelites gathered in the plain of Paran in Numbers 13, you know what they were doing 40 years ago? You know what Paran means? Paran means a place of decision. And they made a fatal decision. They didn't trust God. And for that, they were punished 40 years in the wilderness. Today, we too are in the plain of Paran. We have to make a decision and do not allow our past to dictate to us. Do not allow our past to define us. And especially those of us who are seniors, you know, who haven't made mistakes. If I were to compile my mistakes, I think it is going to be maybe up to volume 10 now, because there are so many mistakes, so many sins that have been, you know, that is in my life. And therefore, all of us, we carry with us shame, embarrassment, right? Disappointments, and lots of things weigh us down. And so the talk, is it death before lunch or lunch after death or something like that? All right? What is it? Death before lunch. It says clear up all these things, you know? Clear up all these things because it is important. We don't want to be weighed down, you know, by all these past baggages. And that's why in Paul says, you know, forget the past. Press on towards the upward call of God. You know? And that's what we should be doing. But forgetting is not really forgetting the things that have happened in the past in our lives. It is coming back to where we were, clean up those parts of our life, give it to God. And unless we give those baggages to God, God cannot put new things in. We can't move forward because there is a blockage of all this past in our lives. And therefore, we need God. We need to come to Him. And we need to confess to the Lord what we want Him to remove from our lives. And so these are the six common hindrances that I feel is a hindrance to our spiritual life. The disappointments of life, betrayal and rejection by other people, the hardships and misery of life, personal loss and death of loved ones, personal failure, embarrassing moments and secret sins, envy, jealousy, and unforgiveness. You see, as much as we have all this in our lives, God doesn't push these past failures into our face and say, you are a failure, you're a disappointment. When we come to God, He calls us by our name and He ministers to us. He don't call us by our shame, you're a thief, you did this, you did that. But I find God is so gentle. He doesn't remind me of my past. He has said, I come to Him, He knows that I have to deal with Him on my past. And so, we don't want the devil to chain us up by our past mistakes and messed up lives. We don't want to block what God wants to do in our lives, which is in Jeremiah 29:11. The slide is there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I want to end with a story. Listen carefully to this story because it cuts across all our lives. And I want to thank Leon because he was able to also put the music, or not the music, the sound to it. In 1965, Sir Winston Churchill died at the age of 90. He had pre-planned his funeral that was held in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, which I visited recently and saw it from the outside. Churchill decided that he wanted to have two buglers perched up in the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral, and at the end of his funeral, one bugler is to play taps. You may not understand it, that's why. This is the last post. When I was in the police, at 7 p.m., every evening, this would be played to signal the end of the day. And when I attended the funeral of my seniors in the police force, this was also played to signal the end of a glorious life of a police officer or a military officer. But then Churchill said that while the sound of taps was still being played at the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral, I want the other bugler to play reveille. It's the beginning of a new day. Can we have reveille, please? You see, even there, the ladies want to charge up when they hear this sound. What more the seniors and all of us, you know? So it signals the beginning of a new day. So brothers and sisters, play taps for the old you to signal the death of your past. Let the old you remain buried and never to rise again, and then play reveille for the new you in Christ. Behold, the old has passed, the new has come. This morning is a new day for all of us to live with a fresh and fortified identity. No more rehearsing the old failures. No more letting the past hold us back. No more retreating, but rising up as a transformed Christian. We still have many years ahead of us. God has given us strength, even in our old age. You may not be perfect, but keep walking forward with a teachable spirit, and reveille is being sounded that you may have a new life and a new day for Christ. And so, my first call is to those who have yet to know God today. You have been worshiping with us. You have behaved like one of us, but you are not in Christ because your heart is not with us. You think you have time, but time and tide waits for no one. If you are one of those who are here today, I want you, after this service, to come and see me or see the pastors so that we can pray for you and make sure that you have eternal life. Please do that. It may be that you have been brought by your relatives, by your daughters, by your sons, or you may have now today stepped back into this church for the first time. God is speaking to you. And for the rest of us, God says, don't rehearse the past. Right? Don't become historical with our spiritual life. Let God have His way in our life. And as you do business with God where you are seated, I just want to invite maybe Doreen. Is Doreen around? Disappeared also. Yeah, Doreen, come up. And we can sing one song now, you know, that is the, and I think Juat also may have some other things and other plans, but I think we will just do a quick one, sing the song, and let God minister to us where we are. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.